This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And once again, we're here with Dr. Peter Williamson, the professor of Sacred Scripture from Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. Dr. Peter has been a good friend for many years, a real disciple and an evangelist in his own right, tremendous teacher. And all week he's been talking to us about some content that he used in a debate recently at the University of Michigan Dearborn campus. We debated an atheist or an agnostic who was taking the place of an atheist and was trying to discredit the historical credibility of the New Testament, of the Bible, and answering the question, they were debating the question, is Jesus fiction? And this guy was making the case that he thought Jesus was fiction. Dr. Williamson hit a home run because the evidence to the, you know, to the contrary is so overwhelming and extraordinary. So what we've done, I asked Dr. Williamson to come this week to be with us to present some of this material. That's what he's been doing throughout the week. And if you haven't been able to tune into the program, I really want to encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. This is really good stuff, especially if you yourself have questions in this area or family members or friends or professors at school or whoever who are trying to undermine the credibility of the witness of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ. This will help. It's good concrete information. It's real historical stuff. It's the way historians look at this kind of question, and it's done, I think, in a way that's very helpful. Before we move on, I just want to remind you tonight on EWTN television, Crossing the Goal is on at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So yesterday, Peter, we talked about miracles. Mm-hmm. Thought you did a wonderful job helping us kind of understand how to look at that in relationship to the Scripture. And I know you brought a book with you that you like as a way to refer people to going deeper into the question about the reality of miracles and do they happen and did they happen in Jesus' time, that kind of thing, the witness to the miraculous.
You know, it's funny that my opponent in this debate and that some scholars should be challenging the historicity about Jesus and the possibility of miracles, because we actually happen to live in a day when more solid historical scholarship has been invested in the life of Jesus than at any other time.
How about that?
And we have some really great historical scholars about Jesus. I'm thinking of N.T. Wright, an Anglican bishop who's written many, many books and deep, thick, and scholarly studies. But also Craig Keener has written a book on the historical Jesus, on the historical Christ. And then John Meyer, a Catholic, has written on the historical Jesus called The Marginal Jew. The very best source that I found that summarized recent history, historical writing about Jesus, is a book called The Jesus Legend. I don't remember the authors, but it's called The Jesus Legend, and it covers a wide range of material. So if you want an overview of all the scholarship, that's the book I'd suggest. But on the subject of miracles, there is now the biggest, most substantial scholarly study of miracles that has ever been written, and it just came out about 2 years ago. The title is called Miracles. It's by a biblical scholar, Craig Keener, K-E-E-N-E-R. It's a two-volume work. It's not for the faint of heart, but it addresses the philosophical issues, and then it does descriptions of miracles in the early church, in the Bible, throughout history, Catholic circles, Protestant circles, in the present, every part of the world. He just does an exhaustive study of miracles and pretty much shows, look, these phenomena exist. Christians believe that they come from God, but you can't deny the reality of these things, and good historians don't. These are just facts that we have to grapple with. So it's quite a powerful testimony. The old, you know, sort of 20th century and 19th and 18th century skepticism about miracles or about the history of Jesus is really passé from a scholarly point of view. There's just too much proof of this. Also on the subject of the resurrection, in particular, N.T. Wright has written both a big scholarly work and then a more popular work on the resurrection. So I just want to say there's a lot of good historical writing and evidence there about the life of Jesus.
And I think, those of you who are listening, some of the new atheists that are out there aggressively trying to attack and undermine the credibility of the Bible and Christian teaching and stuff and the miraculous, they haven't done their homework on these things,
right.
And they don't care to.
Right.
And so what they do is they mock people who believe in such things because
right.
they're living in a world, the scientism world, the vision that the only thing that's real. I mean, they accept it on faith,
right.
Honestly, that
absolutely.
The only thing that's real is what science, this method we call science, can measure.
Right.
And otherwise, there is no reality. You meant that the other day. And so they're acting on a kind of faith. And then the reason I want to say it is that because they can mock and attack and condescend with such force, sometimes it puts people on your heels. Well, gee, maybe I'm not very smart, or maybe
right.
I don't know what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they do. Don't give in to all that stuff.
Absolutely.
That's baloney. Just come back at them. You're standing on extremely solid ground.
Absolutely,
so,
from a historical point of view. And in the debate that you were talking about, my opponent began by saying there's three possibilities about Jesus. Either he never existed, or, and he says, and I'm going to give you the percent I think that it's likely. He says he thinks it's a 40% chance that Jesus never existed.
Yeah.
Then he said the second possibility is that he was a rabbi and a teacher and lived a fairly uneventful life.
That was 60%.
That was 60%.
Yeah.
And he says the third possibility is the Son of God. And this guy said right up front, he gives that zero possibility.
Right. So, because it doesn't fit into his particular worldview, his
right.
optic of what's possible to know and what's
exactly.
possible to be and what can possibly happen. And it goes beyond, the claims go beyond what he accepts as real.
Right.
So therefore, it can't be real.
And if you exclude one option, then the human mind can become very creative to think about what other explanations might be.
Yeah.
And so he presented a very creative but very unhistorical theory about
yeah.
where did Christianity came from. You
yeah.
know, he presented the views of Friedrich Nietzsche
yeah.
about this being a plot of Jesus, but especially of Paul, to overcome the Roman Empire
yeah.
with another philosophy
yeah.
and religion. Just an absolutely mad theory. But
yeah.
to him, because he had excluded the possibility that Jesus was the Son of God, that was in some ways the most plausible one he could grab hold of.
And the debate talked about the problem of bias of the writers, and I thought to myself, to have Nietzsche as the source of your argument, there's nobody more biased, probably. I mean, he was
absolutely.
He had a hatred, a vicious
yeah.
personal hatred
yeah.
for the figure, the person of Jesus Christ and of Christianity for a lot
yeah.
of different reasons.
Yeah.
And the quotes that, I mean, he was a sick man. I mean, he's brilliant. He really was brilliant. But he died of syphilis and was insane. And the last letters from his life, he referred to himself as the crucified. And he lost his mind. I mean, he was so filled with rage and hatred. So
yeah.
you talk about bias. I mean, it's
yeah.
like one of the most extreme cases of bias that's possible. But going back to what we've been talking about in terms of the kind of mounting evidence,
yeah.
there was a piece there where, you know, we've been talking about internal evidence, we've been talking about the writers and authors, but then there's non-Christian evidence in some way, right? That
right.
of sources that give some kind of both Roman or Greek or whatever, that give some kind of confirming testimony to what's already presented in the scripture. Is that right?
Yeah. In fact, we've been talking mainly about the Gospels.
Yeah.
And that's four of the books of the New Testament. The truth is, the other 23 books of the New Testament, each in its own way, gives confirmation to the message of the Gospels, because they all presuppose the death and resurrection of Jesus. The historical life, his teaching, and his death and resurrection are presupposed by all the other books in the New Testament. Now, we tend to think of the New Testament as one book. Okay, it's part of the Bible. But mm-hmm. it's not. It's 27 separate writings written on separate occasions mm-hmm. that were gathered together. So you've not just got the witness of the four Gospels, but you have the witness of these other 23 books. And before I move on to the Roman and the Jewish okay. historical confirmation, I'll just point out that Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, the first letter says this. It's incredible because this was written 25 years after the death of Jesus. And we know that we can date Paul's writing it between 54 and 57. And so Jesus died between either 30 and 33. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas," or Cephas, that's Peter, "then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." That is an incredible statement. That is an incredible piece of historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Paul can say 20 to 25 years later that there are about 500 people who saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead. You can find them. Some of them are in your communities. They can tell you what they saw. And he then names other witnesses, Peter. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. So all of these eyewitnesses to the risen Jesus, it's quite extraordinary evidence.
Yeah, going back to your debate and the way your opponent answered a question I raised and some other young people raised who were there about his theory that what's going on here was an attempt to raise up to fight the Roman Empire because they were oppressing the Jewish people. And this was a whole political, this is all politics here.
Right.
And to say there's no evidence that any Christian in the first century ever raised a sword against anybody. You know, that just didn't happen.
Exactly.
There was no fighting. There was no warring. There was no opposition. There's no witness that there was undermining of Caesar. They said, give to Caesar what Caesar's and give to God what belongs to God. We're here to tell you, just bear witness to what we know is true. So you say, undermines that argument. Then the question is, this is the clear testimony these people are giving. Well, then you go back to, well, what were they like? What kind of people were they? Can you trust their character? Are they truth tellers? Mm-hmm. And then the witness of the quality of their life and their willingness to die for what they believe and the love that they communicated and what the early Christian community witnessed just gives so much credibility to all of this. But anyway.
Yeah, that has been the testimony to the truthfulness of the Christian messages. When people live like Christ,
yeah,
other people sit up and take notice. It's what we aspire to do, eh?
Yeah.
But on the historical side, there are confirmations outside of the New Testament also to the life of Jesus. Not many, because we wouldn't expect that somebody at the edge of the Roman Empire would get noticed by the authorities for a while, and they didn't. But we do have this. The Jewish historian Josephus, writing in the year 93-94, mentions Jesus' miracles, his teaching, his crucifixion under Pontius Pilate, and mentions his brother, James, also called the brother of the Lord in the New Testament. Then the Roman historian Tacitus, in Tacitus's Annals, written in about the year 109, writes that reports of Jesus' execution by Pilate, and he also reports Nero's killing of Christians in 64 AD. Nero blamed the great fire of Rome on the Christians, crucified some of them, lit some of them on fire to light his garden, brutally treated them. And Tacitus didn't like Nero, thought Nero was a madman and a horrible emperor, and told these facts in his annals. He didn't like Christians. He said they were, you know, the worst.
Yeah.
But it even moved people to be sympathetic to the Christians when they saw how Nero treated them. Another historian takes this up, and that's Pliny the Younger. He actually wasn't a historian. He was a Roman governor. And he writes back to the Emperor Trajan and says, what will they do with these Christians? They meet together on their own and they sing hymns to Christ as to a god. And so it's another source of evidence to the historicity of Christ.
That's good. I misspoke yesterday thinking that today you'd share your story. But tomorrow, friends, I've asked Dr. Williams to share his own story of his experience of the person of Jesus Christ and why he's done what he's done with his life. And I hope you can tune in. Ask your friends and family to do the same. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.